Okay, so Be'ezrat Hashem, B'Shem Hashem Na'aseh V'Natzliach, Rosh Chodesh Tov U'Mevorach to everyone. May this Rosh Chodesh Cheshvan bring all of us much bracha, much of nachat, and good health. So, we were thinking to speak about Tehillim, speak about Sefer Tehillim. And I'm happy that I thought of that, because I think that's something that we could all relate to. There's so many Tehillim programs and Tehillim chats, and everybody's reading Tehillim. And there is a lot of connection with disconnection as well that goes on. And I'll explain what I mean. We read Tehillim, and many people don't really appreciate what Tehillim is. If we were to think about it, if we were to really ponder upon what this Sefer is, we wouldn't stop getting excited. And yet, what do? We pick up a Sefer Tehillim and we read. Do we realize what we're picking up? This is the Sefer that David HaMelech wrote. David HaMelech wrote Sefer Tehillim. David HaMelech is the hero of Am Yisrael. Lived thousands of years ago, and yet each and every word of David HaMelech resonates till today. Maybe a little bit later, I'll share with you a thought that I was thinking about when we said Barichi Nafshi before. Rosh Chodesh, we say Barichi Nafshi. Every word is exciting. Every word is alive. And yet, most of the time, unfortunately, it's read without life. Yeah, we remember to read it. Someone is sick, lo aleinu. Someone needs help, whatever it may be. Okay, so we whip out the Sefer Tehillim. Okay, you do from 1 to 5, I'll do from 5 to 10, and so on and so forth. And sometimes you even see there's a whole role going on of constant Tehillim, which is beautiful. The truth is, it's amazing. But it should be more powerful than it looks. What's the reason we don't get excited enough? If I were to tell you, you know who wrote that page that I just put before you? If I were to say, that page, oh, don't ask. It was handed down to me from the Chafetz Chaim. Whoa. First of all, you wouldn't believe it because it's too white. That's number one. But number two, after I would convince you, is that so? I think some people would get shivers just from the thought. I'm holding on to something that the Chafetz Chaim wrote. Amazing. Sometimes I try to tell the boys in yeshiva, you know, we're sitting in front of a Gemara. That's the same Gemara that the Gaon Mivilna learned, the same Gemara that the Ben Ish Chai learned, the same Gemara that the Rambam looked into. It's the same thing, it's the same text. Just to give some perspective to what we are doing. It's amazing. We're opening up a book. When we open it up, we don't realize the tremendous chorus that is coming out from the book that we open. Whether it's a Tehillim, whether it's a Sidur, whether it's a Gemara, whether it's any kind of holy Sefer. There is a noise of Kedusha that emanates from it, from generations and generations and generations. And yet, what do? Nonchalantly, we have a Tehillim, and we start, we say, whether I understand it, don't understand it, it doesn't matter. Why is that? Why does that happen? So I want to share with you a thought that's very important. It's a thought that has to do with hitchatshut, with renewal. It's something that is apropos to Rosh Chodesh. It's something that is connected to a new year. We're beginning a new year. we're in a new building, Baruch Hashem. So there's a lot of hitchatshut, of renewal, that is taking place, and we should take advantage of it. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu peppered the world with all kinds of opportunities of renewal. Just the word chodesh in Hebrew. Chodesh means month. What's the shoresh of the word chodesh? Chadash. Chadash means new. New what? So new moon, okay, right? That's the simple meaning. The simple meaning of chodesh means the new moon. The word month in English definitely comes from the word moon. It's a new moon, right? But if we stop there, we miss the point. Because why did Hashem make it that way? Why did Hashem make it that the moon renews itself every month? Did we ever think of that? Did we ever think of what David HaMelech says in Barechi Nafshi? Another thought. Asa yareach lemoadim. Shemesh yada mevo'o. Asa yareach lemoadim. Hashem fashioned the moon for times, for moadim, in order for us to be able to know when the moadim are. What date is it? What time of the month is it? Imagine you don't have a calendar in your kitchen. So, one way of knowing what day it is of the month is looking outside on a good clear sky. You look at the moon. So if you don't see it, oh, chances are it's either the end of the month or the beginning, the very beginning of the month. If you see a sliver of it, oh, so that's probably the second, the third day of the month, right? You could look at the moon and it's like a calendar. Let me ask you a question. Did we ever imagine to ourselves that Hashem hung up a calendar in the sky? That's exactly what it is. Let's say we would see to ourselves one big calendar hanging from the sky. What would happen? So I know what you're all going to say immediately. We wouldn't believe it. It would be unbelievable. We would right away have no doubts. Everybody would point to the Borei Olam. Everybody would know that there is a creator. Look, there's a calendar. It says 1, 2, 3, 4, right? April, September. Wow, that's unbelievable. Could you imagine a calendar that is hanging from the sky? Let me tell you what really would happen. We would get used to it too. And after a little while, not long, not too long, people would start coming up with theories how it evolved, it developed, there was a big bang, maybe there was some kind of ink spill somewhere, whatever it may be. But believe me, after a while, it would be taken for granted. You know why? How do I know that? Because we have it. Because that's what the moon is. The moon is a calendar. It's a much nicer calendar than a regular paper calendar hanging from our wall. It's a calendar with a night lamp built into it. How do you like that? There's so much that goes into the yareach. I don't want to make that the subject of tonight, talking about the moon, although it deserves it. No doubt about it. But the point that I'm trying to bring out is we have a real proof to the Borei Olam when we look at the moon, just like anything else, but we got used to it. We take it for granted. How does it happen that we get used to something? You know how that happens? When was the first time we saw the moon? Don't lose me. Pay attention. Follow. When was the first time we saw the moon? As a child. Now, a child, you can't really expect much depth. The most you'll get out of a child probably by looking at the moon is, whoa, that's so beautiful. What is that? By the way, that's already better than the 40-year-old. That's already more advanced. but not much depth, right? It's a child. He looks at it like some kind of bull in the sky. That's it. Now, you know what happens after that? The next time he looks at the moon, oh yeah, that, I saw that already. It's the same moon. And the next time, I saw it already. So the next year, 5 years later, 10 years later, imagine coming to someone who's 25 years old, 30 years old, tell him, do you see what's up there? He would think you're crazy, right? You mean the moon? Is that what you mean? I think you're nuts. Why? You know why? Because that person, when I say that person, I mean everyone, is looking at the moon the same way he saw it when he was 3 years old. He never advanced to think into what he saw a second time. He never put more depth into those things that he already encountered, that he already came in contact with. I remember hearing one time about a Baal Tshuva, a person who returned to Judaism in his middle age. This person, the first time he prayed Mincha, he stood up for Amidah, he got up to pray the Shmone Esra of Mincha, he fainted. True story. When they revived him, "Hello, what happened? What was that?" He said, "What do you mean? I'm standing in front of Melech Malchei HaMelechim, standing in front of the Creator of the world. I'm talking to Him. I'm actually talking to Him. I couldn't take the pressure. I fainted." True story. I heard this from a great man. So that means that in shul, people should be dropping like flies every second, right? That doesn't happen. I never saw anybody fainting from praying Shmoneh Esrei. Never saw it. Why is that? We started at a time, each one in his level, each one with his circumstances in life, where not much intellect was put into it. And unfortunately, in the ensuing years, not much intellect was infused into it. It was just the same thing over and over and over again. Every year we read the Torah again. Every year we read the Torah. Here we are again with Noach. Bereshit bara Elokim. By the way, last week's parasha Bereshit, if I'm not mistaken, takes up 1,654 years. I might be off, so please don't quote me on that. But give or take, roughly, if you do the math historically, from day one of Parashat Bereshit until the first pasuk of Noach, how old was Noach when he was told to build the Teva? 600 years. Right? Noach was 600 years when it started raining. Noach haya bashemesh ve'amabul yarad. Bashemesh is Rashi Tevot ben 600 shana. Right? It was 600 years old. If you do the math with the lifespan of each one in the parasha, it comes out, I think, roughly to 1,654 years. Fast forward all the way to the end of the Torah. The end of the Torah is the year 2,488. That's the year when Moshe Rabbeinu passed away. The Torah was given in the year 2,448. 40 years later, 2,488. Do the math. 2,488 minus 1,564, that's less than 1,000 years of a difference. Which means Parashat Bereshit has in it so many more years, more than how many years it was from Noach till the death of Moshe, till the end of the Torah. That's Parashat Bereshit. So here we are, all the way back to this explosive parasha. And what did we do? We read it. Bereshit, bara Elokim, et ha-shamayim ve-et ha-aretz. Where's the excitement? Where is the life behind it? The problem is, how do we read Bereshit? We're reading Bereshit without graduating from fourth grade coloring book Chumash class. Remember those days when we would color a sun and the moon, day one, day two? Unfortunately, most people never look at Bereshit with deeper eyes than how they saw it the first time. Oh, it's that parasha again. I'll tell you a story. This is a Moroccan story. It sounds better in Arabic. I'm not going to say it in Arabic. Okay? But I heard this from my father. I don't know if it's a true story. But this is a story in folklore. You had a woman that came to Bet Knesset every week to hear the tefillah, to hear the parasha, the reading of the Torah. And every week she was there. Parashat Bereshit, Parashat Noach, Lech Lecha, on and on and on, the whole year. So now you have, in Parashat Vayeshev, you have the famous story of Yosef HaTzadik and his brothers. His brothers sold him. They threw him into the pit first, then they pulled him out, they sold him. A mystery of a story in the Torah. Obviously, we're not going to study that tonight. There's so much to study there. But that's Parashat Vayeshev, a well-known story. So one year, in the middle of the reading of the Torah, he's reading the parasha, Parashat Vayeshev, and he's up to the pasuk where it says, Vayimkeru oto mitzrayma. And they sold him, the brothers sold him. So right away from the Azara, from the Ezrat Nashim, you heard this old lady saying, again? Again they did it? They didn't learn their lesson? That's the story. So now, when you hear the story, at first, many people would react with tmimut. It's so naive, you know. But the truth is, it's so deep. This story is so deep. If it's true, that means this lady was listening to the parasha every year in the liveliest way, in the real, the most realistic way. She was actually experiencing it, not just hearing it. She was living the parasha. So when she lived it, she said, one second, this happened last year. They did it again? How could that be? It's a very deep story, I think. Take it home with you and think about it. We don't do that. We don't react like that. When we open up a Sefer Tehilim and we read, Ashrei ha'ish asher lo halach ba'atzat reshaim, how fortunate is the person who doesn't follow the ways of the evil, who follows the way of Hashem. How fortunate. The first word immediately is word that is supposed to bring us happiness. What does Ashrei mean? Ashrei means osher. Osher with the Aleph in Hebrew, although there's no exact translation in Hebrew for the word Osher. You know that, right? What are you going to tell me? What's the translation of Osher? Happiness? No. Simcha is happiness. Try. It's a very hard word to translate. It could be that you don't have such a word in English. It's possible. Maybe close, but you don't have it. In Hebrew, there's such a thing as Osher. I'll tell you a word in Hebrew that's close to it, that we all know. Nachat, right? So you should have nachat from your children. It's another word that's hard to translate. What, pleasure? Is that what it means? You should have pleasure from your children? No, that's not really. We all know in our hearts what nachat means. I don't need to sit here and explain it to you, right? So that's, nachat is what the word ashrei means. That's osher. With the aleph. With the ayin, it means riches. Okay. But with aleph, it means a certain type of happiness, a pleasurable happiness. I don't know how to translate it. But one thing is for sure, that's the first word in Tehillim. That means it's a happy book. That means it's psukim that should bring us to life. Not just mumbling and stumbling and fumbling over the words. Unfortunately, for many people, reading Tehillim is torturous. I've seen it with my own eyes. Reading Tehillim and breaking their teeth over the words. That's why you hear, can you give me a Yom Shevi'i? Can you give me the seventh day? That's easier because it's more familiar. It's hard. Tehillim is not easy. It's something to be studied. But more than studied, it's something to be appreciated, but something to be experienced. Something to live through. That's why Hashem created the moon. Remember, we were talking about the moon, right? That's the purpose of the moon. The purpose of the moon is a hint from the Creator. I'm giving you a new chance at renewal. That's what Rosh Chodesh is. We look at the moon and we see that the moon renews itself. So what do we say in Birkat HaLevana? If you look in the words in Birkat HaLevana, Ateret tiferet la'amuse vaten ki gam hem atidim li'itchadesh kemota ulfa'er le'yotzeram al shem kevod malchuto. When a Jew looks at the moon, he's supposed to say, you know what that is? That's a Jewish moon. It's a Jewish moon. I'm not joking. It's a Jewish moon. It's mamash kacha. We have to put that into our psyche. It's real. The Borei Olam put it there for us. He put it there for us to look at it, and yeah, to know when Pesach is, to know when Rosh Hashanah is. But to look at it and to say, I have hope. Things get old. Things get stale. There's so much repetition in life. Routine is good, but many times it's dead. It's lifeless. A Jew is supposed to look at the moon and say, one second, just a few days ago the moon disappeared. Just 2 weeks ago the moon was on its way down. It was waning. And now all of a sudden it's waxing. Now all of a sudden it's building up to the point where it shows all its glory once again. By the way, in our history, we have the same thing. You know, in Birkat HaLevana, when we bless Hashem by the moon once a month, we say a pasuk, David Melech Yisrael Chai VeKayam. I'm so happy I thought of this right now, by the way. I'm going off script, by the way. Totally off. But this is so good, I'll tell you why. David, the one who wrote Tehillim, David Melech Yisrael Chai VeKayam. David Melech Yisrael is alive. What do you mean he's alive? What do you mean he's alive? David HaMelech lived, how many years ago did David HaMelech live? Almost 3,000 years ago. It's a long time. What do you mean he's alive? What's that? Allegorically, what are you saying? Poetry? What's David Melech Yisrael Chai VeKayam? It's very clear that he's Chai VeKayam. Because up until today, not just the Jewish people, by the way, turn to Psalms, right? Turn to Tehillim. I remember once hearing a non-Jew say over a psalm, a perek of Tehillim. And it was bothering me. What do you have to do with that? That's mine, that's not yours. But the world finds comfort with Tehillim. David Melech Yisrael Chai VeKayam. So to finish the thought that I want to share with you, in our history, we have a parallel to the moon. When we came into Eretz Yisrael, by the days of Moshe Rabbeinu and Yoshua Binun, right? We had to struggle. We had to fight. It wasn't easy. There were many wars. Read the book of Yoshua to conquer the land. But we were there. So we were on the way up. Shoftim was not easy. The book of Shoftim is not an easy book. Up and down, up and down. We behaved, we didn't behave. We behaved, we didn't behave. Right? That's the whole book of Shoftim like that. And then you have Shmuel HaNavi. Shmuel, the great prophet, who finally anointed David HaMelech and his son Shlomo HaMelech. If someone ever asks you, when was the pinnacle, when was the highest point in our history in Eretz Yisrael? Clearly, the days of Shlomo HaMelech. In the days of Shlomo HaMelech, what does it say? It was 40 years of peace. There were no wars, just as predicted by the Navi, who told David HaMelech to name his son Shlomo, that comes from the word Shalom, from peace. Why? V'hu yeh ish Shalom. he's going to be a man of peace. That means that in his days, there's going to be only peace. There won't be war. And that's what happened. For 40 years, no wars. In fact, the whole world recognized the greatness of the Jewish people. It was as if Mashiach came. It was a picture, it was a prelude to the days of Mashiach. When the whole world, letaken olam b'malchut Shaddai, that's why Shlomo HaMelech married all those women from all over the world in order to disseminate the name of Hashem all over the world. It was a time of peace, of posterity, of riches, of good name, of fame for the Jewish people. That was the top. So we made it all the way up from slaves in Egypt all the way up to the time of Shlomo. But what happens then? From the time of Shlomo, we had good times afterwards, no doubt about it. We had great kings who followed, many, to name a few, Chizkiah, Asa, Yehoshaphat. We had tzaddikim. But it was always on the way down. Learn, if you ever have time, to go through the books, Melachim Aleph, Melachim Bet. You'll see, it was up and down, but it was on the way down. So, from Yetziat Mitzrayim, it was up and down, but it was up and down on the way up, till the time of Shlomo. From the time of Shlomo, it was up and down, but on the way down, until ultimately the destruction of the Beit HaMikdash and the exile and Galut. And here we are today. HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed us that we mirrored the moon. The moon is a mashal for us. It's a real mashal, but it's talking about us, about our history. The moon also, in the beginning, is on the way up, the first 2 weeks of the month. And then, in the middle of the month, it's shining in all its full glory. And then it's on the way down. That's why we say, David Melech Yisrael Chai VeKayam. We remember that time of David HaMelech and his son Shlomo. That was the picture of perfection. That was the picture of the moon in all its glory. Yes, ever since it wasn't as, and it isn't as glorious. But David Melech Yisrael Chai VeKayam. Ateret tiferet la musevaten ki gam hem atidim nitchadesh. Don't despair. You're also going to renew. That's chodesh. That's why we have a moon. Chodesh is for the purpose of realizing I have a chance. I have a chance to change. I could renew myself. I can reinvigorate my life. How about taking that same Sefer Tehilim that I took so many times, but this time opening up and imagining to myself as if it's the first time that I'm opening up the Sefer Tehilim. The first time. Imagine if the first time a person looks into Tehilim, he's already well beyond his years, and you look into it and you realize, oh my goodness, these are beautiful words. Someone once came to a big rabbi, I think it was Rabbi Jonathan Sacks in England, Alav HaShalom. A non-Jewish lady came to him with an excitement of, this book that you have, this is an unbelievable book. You know what book it was? A Sidur. When was the last time we got excited about the Sidur? Maybe at the Sidur play. Not of our children, right? That was the last time, a Sidur. I know I make it sound like very bleak, like we're very bad. No, we're not bad, we're human. It's called being a human being. But a human being is given the chance to blow life into himself constantly, constantly. Lechem panim lefnei Hashem tamid. You know, the bread in the Mishkan was always fresh. The bread, the chalot that was brought in the Mishkan on the table was constantly fresh. From week to week, it was renewed. And when they took the old ones out, it was just as fresh as the incoming new chalot. It was a miracle, obviously, a miracle that happened in the Mishkan. But the message behind it is because the Mishkan is a place where you stand before Hashem. When a person reminds himself that he's standing before Hashem, you can't be still. It's not the same. It's lifnei Hashem tamid, it's constant life. You're familiar with Barichi Nafshi, right? We say on Rosh Chodesh, I'm going to open the Siddur and read some psukim to you from Tehillim. This is Tehillim, Perek Kufhe. So tonight we read Barichi Nafshi, tomorrow also. What's Barichi Nafshi about? David HaMelech's excitement over the creation of the world. Imagine you would come to a child's birthday party. Many times you have a balloon expert, right? That is brought to entertain the children. He knows, he has this talent. He knows how to take balloons and make all kinds of shapes out of them. Right? Fascinating. Imagine you come to the top balloon expert. He gets a lot of money, very expensive, but you got him to come to the birthday party. And you know what he did? Unbelievable. He took a regular balloon, he stretched it out, he contorted it in all kinds of ways, and what came out was a plastic balloon plane that he was able to cause to fly all around the room. I think the children would not be the only ones who were excited if they saw that. That would be fascinating. Whoa, how did he do that? Imagine, with just a few movements of the hand, all of a sudden, something that really looked, you know, it's not a plane, but it looks like a plane, and it's flying around the room for a few seconds. That's exciting, right? How sad is that? Shlomo HaMelech says in Mishlei, Lech el nemala atzel, re'e derachaha v'chacham. You lazy bum, you lazy man. Go to the nemala, go to the ant. Watch the ant a little bit. What's there to see about the ant? When did we get excited about ants? When we were kids. Nothing exciting anymore. Can anyone create a leg of an ant? It's a miracle. It's something that's unbelievable. We would get excited over a balloon plane. But an ant that's alive and has legs and is able to walk and is able to run and has the instinct to collect food and has the special instinct to know not to touch food that was touched by its fellow ant. You know that, right? You ever saw an ant creep up all the way towards a crumb of bread, and all of a sudden, by the way, that's a long journey. You know, for an ant, for us, it's like half a foot. But for the ant, that's a day's traveling. And all of a sudden, it gets to that piece of bread that could support him for 3 months, longer than his life even, probably. And he turns away. And he doesn't touch it. You ever saw that? It happens. Yeah. Yeah, I saw it. Probably as a child. What just happened? You know what happened? Another ant touched that crumb of bread. There is a special pheromone that is secreted out of the ant onto that crumb. Another ant that comes immediately detects the smell or the odor of it and moves away and doesn't touch it. That's unbelievable. That's amazing. Where does that come from? How is that possible? From a little creature that you can hardly see, volumes are spoken of science, of wisdom. So imagine building up from the ant, how about to the eye? How excited do we get over the new phone that comes out with the more perfected camera that is built in? And yet we walk around with two cameras that are millions of years more advanced than any kind of camera or, you know, Apple iPhone, whatever you want to say, will ever think of. Right? You experienced yesterday what happens when one mistake of who knows what happened, who touched the wrong button yesterday, and the world went into chaos, right? That's man-made stuff. That's what happens. But the eye, the eye that records every second. Right now, we are looking at each other and we're never going to forget each other. Do you know that? We're never going to forget the photos that our eyes are taking constantly every second right now. Which means, I'll just demonstrate that for a second. If let's say we don't, I don't want to say this, I want to meet again and again. But let's say we don't see each other for 50 years. 50 years. And all of a sudden we meet up somewhere. You look familiar. I saw you one time. You look very familiar. Oh, and if you have a good memory, oh yeah, it was that night. Remember when that guy was boring us to death? What happened? Where did that come from? How do you remember? Because these cameras, they have very good memory. They have files upon files upon files upon files that stay and stay forever. Not just what we see, what we hear, what we smell. You could smell something that you didn't smell for 50 years. Very familiar. It takes you back to the experience that you had when you smelled it for the first time, right? I'm sure everybody knows what I'm talking about. That's the Briya of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is a drop in the ocean of oceans of the wonders of Briyat HaOlam. David HaMelech, he did not allow for himself to lose excitement over looking at the creation of Hashem. And I want to demonstrate that to you in a quick way, all right? About to... In Barechi Nafshi. Barechi Nafshi et Hashem, Hashem Elokai, gadalta meod. My soul should bless you, Hashem. Hashem, you are magnificent. You are so great. Hod ve'adav lavashta, etc., etc. He goes on to describe how Hashem created the sky. I'm reading in translation. How Hashem created the oceans. How Hashem created the winds. How He created fire. This is all in Barechi Nafshi. These are things that still take place today, right? He's talking about the same winds, the same fire, the same sky. By the way, did you ever stop and think when you look at the sun? It's the same sun that David HaMelech saw. It's not a different sun. It's the same one. It's the same sun that Adam HaRishon saw. Some of you just now had the following experience. No, that's not true. That can't be. Right? It's the same sun, the same moon that Adam HaRishon saw. David HaMelech is getting excited. You, Hashem, you created the sun, you created the moon, you created thunder, you created lightning, you created the hills and the mountains and the valleys. You made a boundary for the waves of the ocean so that they don't come and overflow and drown out the world. You created all the animals, domestic, wild, all the birds. This is all Barechi Nafshi. I can guarantee you that out of, let's say, I'm going to be nasty now, okay? Out of the 50 people that were davening Arvit tonight in Shul, not even one was experiencing the sun and the moon and the valleys and the mountains and the animals. Nobody, they were saying the words, but nobody's thinking about it. And I'm including myself, please. Understand that. And the produce of the world, the grass and the food that grows and the fish that comes out of the ocean and wine and bread and oil, all this is in Barechi Nafshi. Asayareach lemoadim, shemesh yadam evo'oi, gets back to the moon and the sun. Darkness. The animals, they ask Hashem for food. Hakefirim shoagim lataref ulvakesh me'el ochlam. If you ever heard the roar of a lion, David HaMelech is translating the roar for us. Saying, you know what that roar is? It's a prayer to Hashem. He's asking for food. And the sun shining, and morning comes, people go to work. By the way, all of a sudden, as if out of nowhere, In the middle, smack in the middle of this mizmor. Please, if you have a chance, when you go home, if you have a few minutes, open up Barichi Nafshi. Check this out. Marabu ma'asecha Hashem, kulam bechokhma asita. Hashem, how great are your deeds. You made everything with such wisdom. Male'ah ha'aretz kinyanecha. The world is filled with your acquisitions, which means with your creations. And then he goes back. Ze hayam gadolu chav yadayim, the big ocean and the whales. And he goes on to describe again more details of creation of the world, and then he ends the mizmo. That pasuk that I just told you before, Marabu ma'asecha Hashem, where should it be written? Wait till the end, right? That's a nice piece of poetry. You start with Barichi Nafshi et Hashem, with an exclamation of the greatness of Hashem. You describe it in detail in quite a long paragraph, and then you tie a bow around it, you end it off nicely, like a nice piece of poetry, and you say, wow, Hashem. Wow, you're unbelievable. Marabu ma'asecha Hashem, kulam bechokhma asita. And call it a day. That's not what he did. He went out of context all of a sudden, like abruptly in the middle. Marabu ma'asecha Hashem, and then he went back to describing some more things, and then he ended off the mizmo. So there's one pirush that I want to tell you. You know what happened here in this mizmo? David HaMelech was just getting excited over every piece of creation of Hashem. He couldn't hold it in anymore. He burst out. It burst out in the middle. In the middle of the mizmo, out of order, he said, Ashai, I can't. It's unreal. It's unbelievable what you do. Oh, by the way, I didn't get finished yet. Let me continue. And let me tell you some more details. And then he ends off with Hallelujah. Which means David HaMelech, when he wrote Tehillim, he wrote it in the liveliest way, in the most exciting way. We have to try to experience David Melech Yisrael Chai V'Kayam. David Melech Yisrael Chai V'Kayam through each and every word that he wrote. If we can put some kind of understanding into the words of Tehillim, if we could look, I can't believe I gave you a page and I didn't even look at it with you. Okay, we'll get to it a different time. Blineder. You know what? You'll give me 5 minutes and I'll quickly tell you what you have on the page here. Very quickly, if that's okay with you. If you look on the pasuk here, in Yeshaya Lamed Gimel, pasuk Yud Gimel, quickly, Shim'u rechokim asher asiti. Those who are far away, listen to what I have done. Ud'u krovim gevurati. And those who are krovim, those who are close, I want you to know my strength, Hashem says. So we have here two classes of people. One called rechokim, those who are far, and one who are called krovim, those who are close. Let's look in Rashi's explanation. Who are the rechokim and who are the krovim? Rashi says, rechokim hama'aminim bi ve'osim retzoni mine'urehem. You know who the rechokim are? Those who are far? Those who believe me, believe in me, hama'aminim bi, ve'osim retzoni mine'urehem, and are fulfilling my will from when they are young. That means someone who is from birth, right? Someone who is religious from the beginning, born into a religious family. What does the pasuk call him? Rechokim, far away. Who are the krovim? Ba'ale tshuva shenitkarvu elai mechadash. Those who did teshuva, who came back to Hashem in the middle of their life, they're called krovim. We would not write that, right? Someone who is a tzaddik from the beginning of his life, he's close to Hashem. What do you mean? Someone who came, you know, late to the party, that's rechokim. No, the Navi is telling us that's not true. You know why? Unfortunately, because of what we were talking about all night. The one who started when he was young, and not to say that you're not supposed to start from when you're young. Please, don't go home and say, okay, kids, you don't got to do anything. Wake up later on in life. We can't take that. That's too risky. Can't take that chance. So please, let's continue to educate. No doubt. But fundamentally speaking, when a person knows something from his youth, from when he's young, there is a risk. You know what the risk is? Rechokim. He feels far away from it. We know this all too well today, unfortunately, right? Because not much life was infused into it. It's the same old, as they say. Yeah, I heard about it from my fifth grade teacher. Wait, one second. It's not the same. It's not the same. You have to look into it, not from a fifth grade's point of view. Look at it from a 20-year-old, a 30-year-old, a 40-year-old. I heard about it already. I know it all. Bechovot al-Vavot, alav ha-shalom, Rabbeinu Bachai, who lived 1,000 years ago, I'll just say this, and with this we'll conclude. He built his sefer. This is a book that's a classic, The Duties of the Hearts, Chovot al-Vavot. He built it with 10 gates, 10 sha'arim. It's a whole program for greatness. One of the sha'arim is Sha'ar Cheshbon HaNefesh. One section of the book is how to have Cheshbon HaNefesh, to contemplate, to meditate, to think, to ponder. In Cheshbon HaNefesh, in the third chapter, he gives us 30 thoughts that he says a Jew should think about every day. It would be nice if we take one of them and think about them for one day once in a while. That would be great. 30 thoughts to think about every day. Wow. That's like a book in a book. Okay? Sha'ar Cheshbon HaNefesh. The 23rd Cheshbon out of those 30 thoughts. Number 23 is what you have here in front of you. We're not going to read through it right now. But you know what number 23 is? By the way, each one is fascinating. Each thought that he gives us, this program is unbelievable. Number 23 is, look and study those things which you learnt as a young person. Look into them again. You heard about Adam and Chava. You learned Parashat Bereshit. You know there's a Sefer Tehilim. You know that from when you're young. Look at it again. Review it. View it again. By the way, there's an English word that I like very much. And that's called respect. Right? We all know. Respect. To respect someone. To honor someone. Do you know what the word respect means? Why does it mean to honor? You know what it means? Respect. What's spect? Spect is a spectacle. Spect means to see. Right? What's a spectacle? A sight. Something that is unbelievable. Spectacular. I can't believe what I'm seeing. Right? Respect means when you give it a second look. That's called respecting something. If we never give that which we learned when we were young a second look, that's disrespect. To respect something, to respect Hashem, to honor Hashem, is to give Him a second thought. That's what can give us a chance at beginning to experiencing Tehillim. I want to say thank you so much to each and every one of you. I did not expect this. I don't deserve it, that's for sure. And thank you so much for taking your time, your precious time, and coming here to hear words of Torah. I hope to do this with you at least once a month. For now, it's once a month, but you can pressure, and we'll see if it will be more. But Be'ezrat Hashem, thank you so much. I appreciate it. Should see only blessing, only bracha, only simcha in all of your lives. Yes.